Good morning, I'm Terry Griffith, and this is my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Welcome, folks. What are we going to talk about today, Terry?
Well, I think we're going to cover a couple things. One is talk a little bit about dog breeds and finding the right breed for you, because obviously if you don't have the right breed, you're going to end up with a dog that you don't like or doesn't like you. And we're going to touch base a little bit on cattle dogs, because that's my wife and I actually are big fans of them, and we've got a couple now and have had them in the past, so we're going to talk a little bit about those. I don't know what else we're going to talk about. We're going to wing it.
Yeah, that's the best way to go.
That's how we work best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, one of the things about picking the right breed, Terry, is not only can it just be a bad match psychologically in your home, but many, many dogs end up at the shelter because it's a bad match. And there are enough dogs that need to be rehomed, we need to cut down on that number, not increase that number. Most folks tend to get their dogs just because it's an emotional thing. It's time to get the dog for Christmas or for the kids or whatever, and don't put any more thought in it than they put into going to the grocery store. And a dog is a long-term commitment. A dog is a member of your family. So you need to look at it from that perspective on what's going to work. Do I live in the city? Do I live in the country? Do I have an active lifestyle? Do I have a lifestyle that would even allow a dog quality time with me? If you're working 60, 70 hours a week and there's only you, get a cat. Dog is probably not for you right now. Or fish, right? Or bird, you know. But not a dog. Dogs are companion animals. They're pack animals. They need their people.
And there's nothing worse than leaving them in a cage all day long. I mean, there's a time and a place for kenneling the dog, putting it in the cage. I just don't, and I know people that do this, and I adamantly disagree with it, but they will go, and they're the 70, 80-hour work week people. And that poor dog is 10 hours, 12 hours a day in that cage. And it gets a couple hours with the people, and then they go back to bed.
It's not much of a life for a dog.
No.
And crating can be a really good, necessary evil. Just depends on the scenario. Personally, I wouldn't crate my dogs for more than a couple hours at a time. But there are occasions, especially with young dogs, if there's no other alternative but to crate. We'll talk on another segment about options to crating dogs all day, because we all have options and there's some really good ones, even with puppies. So, back to cattle dogs. One of the things that I am not familiar with are the different kinds of markings on cattle dogs. I do labs. I mean, labs are easy. There's three solid colors, black, yellow, and chocolate. If they're not one of those, then they're not a lab. Talk to me about these different varieties of cattle dogs.
Well, the cattle dog's interesting because it's the breed's only been around about 125, 130 years.
Where did they start?
Australia.
Okay, that's I wasn't sure.
No, that yeah, right.
You never know exactly. Just by the name.
And the farmers basically, you know, needed to crossbreed a number of dogs to get a dog that would work in that environment. So they had to deal with the heat, had to deal with the dry, and it had to be able to run long distances. And they wanted the natural instincts of the herding to keep their cattle moving where they wanted to move them. And they are absolutely a working breed. Our first dog, Aussie, was from a farm. Her mom and sisters worked the farm every day. She was sleeping in the barn. Quite a transition for her from the barn to the home. But go back to the cattle dog colors. There's three main bloodlines, and there was three people, and I don't recall their names anymore, that were the primary breeders to get to what today is the Australian cattle dog. They were mixing dogs, dingoes, Dalmatians, blue merles from Scotland, all to bring these together to get the right traits for that environment. And you'll see different body styles with them. So like with Surrey, she's a brindle, and she's the first brindle that I had ever seen. And what it appears to be, and I can't verify that because she is a rescue, but it appears to be that she had a blue mother or father and a red mother or father. So typically you see heelers as a red heeler, blue heeler, okay, or some flavor pretty close to that. She's got some blue markings and then a lot of brindles, so she's some sort of blend.
Okay.
She very much has the dingo body. She's very thin, extremely fast, and quiet, relatively quiet as far as dogs go.
Right, not a barker.
Not a barker. Well, she'll bark at neighbor's dog, but
yeah.
That's just to come
say
over and
hello.
Play. Yeah. So she has a very unique body. Our other dog, Aussie, had a lot of Dalmatian in her, had the Dalmatian chest.
How much did she weigh?
Aussie weighed probably about 45 pounds.
And how much does Surrey weigh?
About the same, 45, 50
okay. So
pounds.
Same size. Okay.
That's typical. Typical size is anywhere from 30 to 55 pounds for a cattle dog.
Okay.
I've seen them as high as 80.
Whoa.
I don't know how they got there, because typically you don't want that big a dog trying to run through the desert, but...
Mutant.
Who knows what came out of it. And you'll see some that are more squatty, so... Sparky is clearly a cattle dog mix anyway, because his head is completely wrong for a cattle dog. I don't know if he's a Rottweiler or a Pit. To me, it looks like a Rottweiler, but who knows. But if you look at his hindquarters, it's very much blue heeler. So he's got the blue heeler tail, traditional blue heeler tail.
Okay.
The hindquarters and the markings are blue heeler. Now, blue, it can be true blue, or it can be black-ish.
Oy.
It gets very complicated because there's such a mix of dogs. There's six or seven dogs in each bloodline, and one of the bloodlines actually has a bull terrier in it. So those are the squattier of the ones.
I was just going to ask about Sparky. He's stocky.
Yeah.
He's got that broad chest. Does that come from whatever he's mixed with, or can that come from the cattle dog? Bloodlines.
It could be either or.
Okay.
The only thing that's clearly not cattle dog is the head.
Right.
But he could be from the bull terrier line. But only one of the breeders actually used a bull terrier, mm-hmm. and then they stopped doing it because it was too stocky.
Because that he does now that you mention it remind me a little bit of that breed, just a little bit in passing. You know, with that chest and everything. Yeah.
He's very broad.
Mm-hmm.
Not nearly as fast as Surrey.
Right. I don't think anybody's as fast as Surrey.
Yeah, she'd give a greyhound a run for its money.
She would.
Maybe not the distance, but the speed.
She's a sprinter.
Oh, she's quick. That's the colors get a little bit complicated because there's some variations. But you can once you get into the cattle dog arena, you start to say, oh, well, that's cattle dog, and that's a cattle dog, and that's cattle dog. And
you pointed one out. Had cattle dog in it at any rate, a mixed breed yesterday at the dog job.
Yeah.
So now you've got me, I'll start noticing them because I've not hung out with cattle dogs a lot until now.
You'll notice that the tones of the spots and the way the spots are laid out is different. It's not Dalmatian type spots, which are a little bit more uniform. Different types of markings, almost dashes on their legs, things like that come out. It's a neat breed. It is a high energy breed.
Absolutely.
And you and I have worked with my dogs, getting them under control, if that's possible. Getting them more better behaved.
A little focused there.
A little focused on that. But they are high energy. They want to go all the time. Surrey's really so much.
Well, and Surrey's
so.
Young.
That's true.
Year and a half?
Yeah, about 14, 15 months now.
And that plays into it. Yeah, every month your dog gets older, there's just a little bit more maturity. And at some point with most dogs, you really do notice a difference in them. Sometimes it's at 2, 3, 4. My 8-year-old Cody, not so much. So I'm hoping that Surrey does show a little more as she goes along. But for high energy dogs, I think more than just your standard dog, training's essential, getting them into sports. You started doing some agility with your dogs.
Yeah, we did, last week we did our first agility class. Actually, both dogs ended up going. It was going to be Surrey specific, because we were a little, Sparky's a little bit older, he's 5-ish, and he has a little bit of hip problems, which is not uncommon in the cattle dogs because of the Dalmatian.
Oh, really?
They get that from that. They also, sometimes cattle dogs are deaf. Because of the Dalmatian. Cattle dogs are also born white like a Dalmatian and develop their colors as they get older.
Do they really? Oh, that's a really cool piece of information.
It's a neat breed. It's just such a... the way it's absorbed all these different traits is very cool. But so he's got a little bit of hip. It's minor still, but we were trying to be cautious. But the trainer is pretty good. I wish I could remember her name. But we're just going to keep him moving and see how the leg... works, and if it doesn't work, then we won't go any farther with it. But he enjoyed it mentally. He was just in that moment. It was awesome.
That's terrific. And on a future show, maybe we'll talk about some quick and easy ways to build some agility stuff in our backyards. You can do it fairly inexpensively and sort of just make a playground for your dogs. So yeah, we'll cover that in another show.
I think that'd be great, especially if you've got a high energy dog, and get them out there and just get them working it. And those two monkeys will take to anything anyway, as far as playing, walking.
Oh, what's this?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Let's climb it. Let's run on it. Let's whatever. So.
That's great, man. Well, the other piece of information I'd like to share with folks today is, if they are interested in a specific breed, cattle dog or any other, kind of where they should start gathering information about that breed. Okay, what I recommend you do is start on the internet, and you can search for the breed you're interested in this case, Australian cattle dog. Most breeds have a web presence. They have a club, and it's at least national. Sometimes it's an international club, and that is a really good place to read up on the breed you're interested in. They're going to give you a lot about their temperament, what kind of home lives they need to lead, you know, who's best to own this particular breed of dog. And anyway, start there. It's a really good place to start. Whatever you're planning on adopting or buying, if it's a dog, just please do your homework. We're going to cover in depth in a future episode the list of things you should do when you start thinking about getting a dog. Don't just go get one.
Yep, I agree with that. I think that the key piece with that is really the try that again. The key piece with this is to make sure that you understand the breed, because for us, we knew what we were walking into. The cattle dogs are extremely bright dogs, and if you don't have something for them to do, they will create something for them to do, and it may not be something you want them to do, and that includes digging. Sparky's going through an incident of fence climbing now, so he's an escapee. We're putting up the well, we call it the Stalag fencing, because it's got the overhangs on it now, so to keep his pudgy little butt in the yard. And he doesn't go far, he just walks around the other side and sits. But we don't want him outside the fence. So if they get bored, they need to be entertained, and there's lots of ways to do that. And actually, some of the products I want to talk about later on in episodes, there's one called a walkie dog, which has worked out really well for Surrey. Hooks to your bicycle. We'll kind of go through that. It's really neat. It's a good way to take dog out for a run without having to jog yourself. You ride the bike. So,
well, and we'll talk in future episodes too about the kinds of mental stimulation that dogs need. It's both physical and mental that keeps them happy, out of trouble, and just makes them part of the family. And it's we want to inform you. We want to train our humans who live with dogs to understand dog behavior, to understand what they need on a day-to-day basis, and it'll just make life fabulous with you and your dogs. That was awful.